This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information.
Hey, Chris, can you hear us at all?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What's going on, you guys? Son of a gun. Don't let anybody in there.
Yeah. We're struggling to hear you guys, but
it's too loud.
Wow.
I miss everybody. Wish you guys were here.
Yeah, man. Me too. Yeah. I miss it, man. It was so much fun hanging out with you guys last year.
We're at an HMI Topgolf event, so it's a little loud, but we want to check in and say hello.
Thanks for doing that, man. It's awesome.
Nice.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
That's great.
I've got David Coral here too.
Yeah,
I see you, Rob. I see you,
I got your hat, bro.
Okay, let me know. We'll send them around the country and everybody can have one. You got to get the new piece.
All right, man.
Let me see if I can get David Coral on. I don't want to keep you guys too long.
No, that's good. Loud. Yeah, no, that's cool. Bring it on. What's up, David?
What's up, everybody?
How you doing?
What's happening?
Good to see you all. What's up, Chris?
Not much, man. Just doing my thing. How about you?
Doing good. Hey,
yeah,
missing
awesome.
You this year.
Yeah,
missing how's you this year, man?
Yeah, I know, man. I'm bummed that I couldn't be there, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Hey, your weather's better, dude. It's like windy and about like 40 degrees here in Atlanta this week. So,
oh, yeah,
sure the weather's better. You are here, man. Welcome to Topgolf. Yeah.
There you go. Nice. You guys are rocking,
guys.
Man. Yeah, man. Thanks for
checking
in. Guys,
have a great night. I don't want to keep you because I can't hear anybody, but it was good to see you guys.
All right, cool.
Thanks for checking in, man. See you guys.
Later, fellas.
That's cool. Nice. Well, you know, what are you going to do? Can't be everywhere at the same time. Well, it looks like we're going to have kind of a smaller crew tonight. A lot of people are in Atlanta. That's okay. You know. We'll just hang out and chat for a while. If we run out of stuff to say, we'll just leave early. What are they gonna do? Sue us? Ask for their money back? You know?
Yeah. Come on, Chris. You have been holding this show for like 3 years plus. with like 3, 4, 5 guys.
Right,
and now you're in mainstream, you're feeling like that, come on, man.
Right, exactly. You know, so yeah, anyway, what is going on out there, you guys? Anything new? Tell you, today I was out on this job and I had this designer. You ever work with those designers?
You mean a desecrator?
Yeah, desecrator. Oh my gosh, she was like in the next room, kind of like standing there watching me, you know, which like, I don't know. I'm kind of used to it now. It used to really bother me when I was new, and I don't care anymore. You know, it's like, I watch me if you want, but if you've got nothing better to do, if you've got no life, nothing better than to stand there and watch me work, you know, But then, and she's in there. It's like, so, you know, I'm finishing up and I'm cleaning up, you know, like I do. I try to leave it really nice and clean, you know. And she's in there. Oh, you missed a spot. Oh, man.
Oh, really?
I hate that. There's nothing that gets my ire up quicker, man. I'm like, oh, you missed a spot, you know. It's like, hand her the stuff. Here you go. I'm like, look, check it out. I'm going to clean this for you because that's just how I roll. But I want to set your expectations. Right now, it's not going to be like, it's going to be like a guy cleaned it.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them. It's like, it's going to be like a guy cleaned this. So like, expect that. So that's pretty fun.
Those are the best. And then the ones that pull out the lawn chair to watch you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grab some popcorn, yeah. You know.
Usually the Indian people, they do that.
Yeah. You know, Chris, I got a cleaning story. It's kind of related to this. So we do we're pretty kind of a full service shop is what I call myself. And when we do shower doors, we do clean, you know, it's part of our deal. We clean them down and we try to make them look as good as we can. But we also do commercial storefront. And it typically in a commercial storefront job proposal, I put in there as an exclusion that we don't clean the glass or the metal, a final cleaning. And we just did a pretty nice commercial storefront job, and I neglected to put that in, just overlooked it. And we did the punch list a week ago, and first thing that came up, first thing, we want the glass cleaned, and we want the metal cleaned, and end up costing me, I don't know, I was able to find somebody to do it for $350, but nonetheless, you know, the cleaning thing hits home because that was so fresh in my mind. You either do it, I guess, or you don't. We try to do it on all shower doors simply because you want to leave a lasting impression. But typically in storefront, and I've seen other competitors' storefront work, they never take the stickers off, clean metal, clean glass, you know, none of that. So,
yeah, leave all the buttons on and
yeah, exactly.
Acne stickers and
yeah.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to get away with it. Well, the thing is too, is with shower doors, you want a photo, you know, especially if it's something nice, you definitely want to get a photo for your portfolio, whatever. So you got to clean it for that, you know, at least, you know, at least get it cleaned up enough to where, you know, when you're nothing bad shows up in your photo. Yeah, and that's if you get it pretty clean, you can usually get a pretty nice photo. But yeah, you know, with storefronts, I always did like at least pull the buttons and stickers off.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't wash the glass because it looks bad. I mean, it looks really bad, you know, if you leave all that junk on the windows. And glass looks nice when it's clean, and when it's not clean, it really doesn't look very nice.
Yeah. Now, you're right. We always do the buttons and the stickers, but we never did a final cleaning of glass or aluminum, typically because of the stage you're installing, there's still ways to go that it's going to get dirty anyhow.
Yeah, so, right. Exactly.
And, yeah, as a CYA thing, I always put in there excluding I use the word final glass cleaning, final aluminum cleaning, but it bit me when I forgot it. So.
No, that's a great idea. You know, put that in there. And then if you do clean up a little, it's like it's a bonus. You know, it's like, hey, this wasn't in my contract, but we did want to leave it, you know, presentable for you. I like what you're thinking,
yeah.
Yeah. No, just like you, we do everything, you know. So I sent my guy out to do a wood sash repair. He putty glazed it, and he got done. He cleaned up in the field, and you leave, you know, you can't hit, you know, clean it completely. And the guy called me. He says, well, there's smudges around there. I go, well, yeah, you have to let it dry, and then you can finish cleaning it. He says, oh, do you come back and do that? No. You know.
It's a common response from customers, Tim. I too many times dealt with it.
Yeah, but when they're standing there saying, oh yeah, you missed a spot, it's like, or you know, are you gonna caulk that, or are you gonna, you know, or are you gonna adjust that door, you know? It's like come in the middle of an installation, and they're like starting to ask you like, oh, are you gonna, oh, those don't line up or something. It's like,
can I finish the job first?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or they stick their finger in the caulking.
Stick their finger in the caulking.
That's another good one.
Right after you tell them that it's fully caulked, don't touch it. It's wet. It's got to dry. Did you get here?
They don't believe you.
Yeah.
The best one was that meme. I think it was Keith Dobbin that posted on the group of, I think it was The Hangover with Alan. He's got his glasses on. He's like, don't touch it. Look at it, walk away. It was perfect.
Yeah. Got to keep an eye on them all the time, man. They'll be sticking their fingers and stuff.
So I have a situation that kind of arose today. about a month, I guess it was about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, we had done a door and a panel in a zero entry curbless shower. We fully wrapped the door and the panel in champagne bronze U-channel. And when I went out and measured, I walked in the bathroom and I could see the floor was not pitched quite correctly. I immediately pointed it out to the homeowner and I said, you know, there's issues here. You have a dip in the floor here. You're going to get, you know, water pooling. I carry a ball bearing and a marble in my pocket. Nice. So I set my ball down and I let it roll. And the thing rolled 100 different directions in this thing. I mean, there were pitches going every which way. And I told her, I said, you know, you're going to get water collecting in these spots. It's going to be an issue, you know, just so you know, before we do anything. And she said, well, what do we do about that? And I said, well, you know, at this stage, short of ripping the whole thing out and redoing it, we don't really do anything, you know, except make you aware. So they were aware, they were on board. I had them, you know, I typed it all up in the final proposal and had them sign off on it and everything else. And we put it in, it was probably about a month ago, and I got a call from her today. And she's like, I'm getting water puddles and pooling up and water flowing out from underneath the door. And we didn't put a bottom sweep on it because we fully wrapped it. It's channel on the bottom of the door as well. I left about an eighth inch of a gap. She sent me a video, and I mean, the water is just, it rushes out of the underneath the door into the bathroom. And she's like, you know, I had the contractor come back. He ripped up the tile floor. He redid it. It's still an issue. You know, what do we do about this? What can we rip this door out? Can we uninstall, have him fix the floor and then reinstall it? And I was like, oh man, Emily, not really. You know, the glass that's in there is cut to fit, you know, the space that you currently have. And being that it's fully wrapped, it's even harder to remove without, you know, damaging it. I'm like, oh, yeah,
no doubt.
The door is one thing. It's on pivot hinges. I can pull the door, no problem. But the panels, you know, siliconed in the channels and everything else. And she was going to put me in contact with the contractor. I've never worked alongside this guy before, and he was supposed to call me today. He hasn't yet, but it's just one of those things where, you know, you want to try and do the right thing as best you can, but a situation like this is like, man, it like a perfect storm. It couldn't be any worse of a situation. You know, if it was just bottom channel and a clamp, you know, and a door on hinges, it would be one thing, but this thing is fully wrapped, you know, mitered corners and everything else. It's like, what a just perspective nightmare that this is going to be. And, you know, and I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, how I'm going to handle it. You know, I'm going to have to talk to the contractor and see how he wants to go about it too, but you know, and she kind of warned me. She's like, you know, he's kind of a rough dude. He's a little rough around the edges. He's a nice guy. He does great work. You know, I got that whole spiel too. I'm thinking,
sounds like he does great work.
Yeah, you know, like it's kind of tough to pitch me on that at this stage. But you know, and I don't want to insult the guy. But
what do you mean,
you know,
it's fully wrapped? You said it's a door and a panel.
It's a door and a panel. But all edges wrapped in U-channel. So it gives the appearance of a framed unit.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a faux frame.
Header?
Yeah. No header. No header. All U-channel, because she wanted to keep the same, you know, the same lines, the same profile. So it's just all U-channel.
Are you able to throw, is there enough room to put like a little threshold, like one of those little bulb thresholds underneath?
So I mentioned it to her, and then she sent me the video of the water rushing out from underneath the door. And I told her, I said, we could try that, but it's only going to be a temporary preventative measure until the water pools up high enough to breach the threshold. And then it's going to come out anyway.
Jesus.
You know, so it's just going to come out a little bit later.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I saw that shower that you posted, that the picture of it. It looked killer. Definitely good work.
Thanks, man. I mean, we took a lot of time on it. You know, we put a lot of love and care into it, and then to find out that, like, you know, she wants to see if it can be taken down and like redone. And I mean, the chances of that happening successfully are like, you know, slim to none without having to reorder, you know, quite a bit of material.
Yeah, because you wreck it taking it apart.
You know, yeah. but at the end of the day, Brian, it's your fault though. Not gonna hurt, be mean. You're the professional. I would have stopped. To me, if I have any crib that's pitched wrong, I would not install the door at all. I don't care what it is. I would have them rip it out before I even put a door in, because I am the professional and I know better. So at the end of the day, you might have to pay for it, because I would have never have done that, because you know, and I know that you were going to have this issue. I mean, that's my honest opinion. That's just the way it is. I mean, there's a point.
I appreciate that.
You know, I'm not trying to be mean, but.
I've heard you say that before, that like you've gone out and looked at something and it wasn't right. You just refused to do it. I don't know if everybody really can do that, you know, but it's cool that you can.
Yeah, but, you know, now Brian, you know, like this thing is, he's going to go fix it. I mean, he can't charge them because of that. I mean, now you're going to be out of pocket. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't want to be mean like that. But, yeah, that's just – yeah. I just walk away from situations like that. There's no money – amount of money that will allow – you know, that I would, you know, do to – you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be – you know, they're going to say it's your fault, you know. And so I had that problem one time, and I'll never do it again. You know, that's –
And I guess that's part of the reason I bring it up is you know, how at fault am I? You know, if it was shown and explained and mentioned that, you know, the solution is to rip out the floor and redo it, and the response is, you know, we're not doing that, how much of the responsibility really is mine at that point?
You know, people don't listen to, or they don't read the fine print of anything, man. I mean, that's what I learned, is you could tell them all you want, and all that matters to them is the installation and the bottom dollar, how much it costs. They don't care about nothing else. I learned that the hard way. I ran into the same situation as you did, but I didn't wrap it. But I installed one, and I had to go rip it all out, order new glass. They had to fix the curb, and all because they're going to take me to court because it leaked or whatever. I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'll replace the glass. You fix the curb. And we did all that, and just washed my hands, and that was it. I'm in California, man, so everybody's so happy right here. So I don't know where you're at, but yeah, that's just, you know, maybe it's different where you're at, but yeah, that's why I'll if I run into that situation, I'll gladly walk away. It's a headache now. It was not even worth. You know, it's not worth it to me. You know, when you get to that point.
You know. No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with it, Adrian. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to recognize when we template it what some issues might be. I think, Brian, you were correct in trying to point it out. I think at this point, though, you know, you brought it to their attention. You showed them. I think you may have an opportunity, just in my opinion, you may have an opportunity to, with that proposal in hand, to get with the dude that, you know, installed it and say, these were pointed out. I don't know that you'd have to eat the whole thing, to be honest with you. I think you have an opportunity to at least have a discussion to say, she was made aware of this. you might have like a 50-50 deal instead of a 100% deal.
Right.
I do agree with Adrian from the standpoint, and I've gotten this way too over the years, is that if you discover those things up front, I mean, I'm to the point now where I make them sign. I have pictures of my little bullet level, you know, with the bubbles the wrong way on the curb, because listen, none of us like to do that. None of us go into this with intentions of, I just want to get it in, get my money and get the hell out. You want your name to be, you know, in good standing, but we might miss things or whatever, but I think you showed a little bit of due diligence in here to show that there could be a potential be a problem. And I think you have an opportunity. He might be an ass at the end of the day, but you have an opportunity to maybe not take it on a chin for 100%.
Well, you want to hear me weigh in?
Where's your 2 cents?
Yeah. So I disagree with Adrian completely, 100%. You know, frameless shower enclosures are not watertight, period. They're not. We have no responsibility there are no leaks in a frameless shower enclosure. A leak indicates that it's supposed to be watertight, and it's not. So if you use that terminology, leaking, you're responsible. You're admitting guilt for something that you shouldn't even be taking the blame for. It's like frameless shower enclosures are not designed to be watertight. I mean, we're going to do our best to keep all of the water in there, but there's no guarantee that water's not going to get out. I mean, take a look at it. It's like pieces of heavy glass with gaps in them. You know, you can't like caulk the gap, you know, but around a door. The door won't open and close.
So, Chris, I appreciate your point, and I don't disagree with you, but how do you handle a situation where you walk in and a curb is sloped out, or you have a zero entry and you discover during your templating that you have a situation where you know damn well it's probably going to leak? I mean, do you?
My showers don't leak. Yeah, my showers don't leak. So because it's like we've gone over this like multiple times. By the time we're doing the installation, we've already talked about this a whole bunch of times. I have this talk like, in fact, I had it today, and I was telling the lady today that I have this conversation 10 times a day, and I do. I have this conversation 10 times a day, and it's like, and it's our fault if we're setting expectations for customers that their frameless shower enclosures are going to hold water. If we're telling them that, we're doing a disservice to the whole industry, because it's like, I'm not going to try to make my frameless shower enclosure into an aquarium because somebody else is promising them that's how it's going to be. Oh. It's like, just because that guy said that doesn't mean that I have to live up to that. It's like, it's crazy. Like I was telling this same designer I was talking about earlier. It's like, you know, you kind of think that people have a basic understanding of hydrodynamics. I mean, like the average person, that they know that like water will flow in between the gaps and a piece of glass. You know, if two pieces of glass, even if they're touching each other, water will flow through there.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like if the people who built the stall didn't do it to contain water, well, the glass sure isn't going to do it. So what, they build the shower wrong, and then somehow we're supposed to put a couple pieces of glass in there. They're going to keep water from coming out of it. That doesn't make any sense. And to admit guilt and to go out and like and to do this and to say, oh yeah, we'll come out and fix your leak. It's like, yeah, that's by the time the ball's gotten that far down the field to where you've let them believe that somehow you're going to put a frameless glass enclosure in that's going to be watertight, you've made the mistake. Yeah, you're right. You are responsible for that. But it's like, I'm not.
Okay, let me put a little brakes on that a little bit. Okay, I think maybe I said something wrong. Okay, I know shower doors are not 100% leak-proof, but it helps retain water in, but it doesn't, it's not a frame shower where it, you know, I say in a way it helps retain it, but at the curb part on the bottom where the water does fall down into that falls and sets, yes, we have to make that aware to our customers. They, you know, where the water rests and goes, falls, and how that, you know, what direction it goes. I mean, we got to make that aware and to a point where, okay, is this, you know, we got to let our customers know, okay, well, it's in a leak, but at the same time, do you really want to, you know, I mean, because if you do the job, at the end of the day, if it does leak, it all is going to come back to you anyways. It doesn't matter how you write
it. Yeah, if it leaks, yeah, you're right.
Underneath the door. If you have a pitch, look, I center all my shower doors. I don't bring them. I always tell my customers, no. They sometimes, oh, can you push it as far as you can? I say, no, I don't do that. I go, unless some circumstance is okay. But I always center mine, so I know for a fact that my glass is centered on the tile. So when it does hit the glass, it comes down, and it has enough room for the water to sit and then go back in if there's a nice slope. I know for a fact my shower doors won't leak like that either. I don't put seals on it on the hinge side, the center, whatever. I know these have gas. My customers know this. It's in my terms and conditions. I tell them. But as far as the construction and the tile of it, you know, we have to have our sense to, hey, man, make sure it's pitched in. If it's not, then we got to set, we got to stop and say, hey, either fix this or I'm not going to do it. And that's how I do it. I'll walk in. I will simply will not do the shower door if the curb is not pitched correctly at all, period.
I don't think that's a bad policy. I mean, if you can do that, that's a good policy because it's going to save you those headaches, especially if you're not able to educate your customers and the fact that frameless shower enclosures are not watertight. I mean, if you're not able to do that, you're best just to walk away from those things where water won't get out. Yeah. But it's like when I have that conversation with a customer, it's like, look, they'll bring up like leaking, right? And I'll say, okay, well, I'm glad you said that because frameless shower enclosures are not watertight. Now, it varies from one to the next. I mean, sometimes frameless shower enclosures contain every drop of water. You know, sometimes they do. And there are a lot of factors. There's like the way that it's built. There's the way that the shower head works, the direction that it's pointed, the way that people use the shower, which is something there's no way for you to predict. You know, the way they stand in there. If they're like me, I'm like a crazy person in the shower. I'm flinging water and soap and shampoo, man. It's like dangerous. I have to shower alone for that very purpose, you know? But it's like water's going to come out of there, you know? And so as soon as people bring that up, I'm like, oh, hey, okay, right now, if a little bit of water getting out of your shower is a deal killer, we don't want to go in this direction at all. And let's talk about like a manufactured shower enclosure. See, this is how you do it. It's like, because you walk them through the process. Okay, imagine some water spills out of your shower onto your tile floor. Okay, let's just do a thought experiment. Pretend that you're in the shower and you get out and there's some water on the floor. How is that going to affect your life?
Oh.
Wow. You know, I've never thought that through before. Nobody's ever given me the opportunity to do what you just did. It's not going to make any difference at all. It's not going to affect my life at all. I've got a bath mat. It's going to soak it up.
I often use the scenario or the example of, I ask people, I say, do you brush your teeth in here? And they say, yeah. And I say, do you, maybe sometimes you rinse your mouth out with a little Dixie cup. I said, imagine you place that Dixie cup on your vanity counter and you accidentally elbow it off and the water spills on the ground. That's what we're talking about. You know, you're not going to ruin your bathroom by a little Dixie cup full of water. You know, it gives them the opportunity to consider it in a more realistic fashion, which has proven to be helpful time to time.
Yeah, along the same lines, something very similar to this is steam showers. You know, for some reason, people think that you have to trap all the steam. Mm-hmm. Or like somehow there's going to be some like, if some steam gets out of the steam shower, that it's going to be some kind of a disastrous thing, you know. It's like, and I don't know why people think that, but they just do. It's irrational. It's completely irrational. It's like the water thing. It's like, man, we're talking about water. you know? It's like, it's totally irrational. This idea that there, you can get some water on you. Well, you tiled the floor and you tiled the shower and you tiled what, the whole bathroom a lot of times, you know, like, because it's wet in there. Right.
But we're dealing with the new era, man. People want everything easy. They don't want to clean nothing. It's like, ah, oh, it's like, I wish it was that easy.
It is. I mean, that easy. Oh,
I wish every day. You know, just a little, yeah, little, yeah, but not everybody though. You get some people that are really picky. Oh no.
Oh yeah, one out of 20 or 30 probably. Yeah. I won't make.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I know. And it's just, I hate going go backs. I hate just dealing with that. So I just, that's why I avoid those. It's no. No, you know, I'm not trying to take no shots at anybody or how they do their work. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are the professionals. We know better. We know what's going to happen. I think it's just, I mean, is it worth even doing it knowing that's going to happen? You know, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's my perspective and how I do my business. But honestly, I rarely run into this issue. And if I do, then yeah, I do let the customers know, and they do. Hey, and most of the time, they will fix the problem, you know. Or I tell them I will not warranty the shower door at all. And then once I say I won't warranty it, their face changes. Okay, I'll get it fixed right away. I won't warranty it at all
because what, I know what's gonna happen.
That's kind of how the approach that we take too, because. I mean, we're still a growing business over where we're at. I mean, we're a small company, but we get a lot of rapport because we are willing to, like, you know, help the customer out as best as we can, kind of in Brian's point, you know, and I think in our case, we kind of take it case by case, but I do the same thing as Adrian, is I make them well aware, hey, these are the problems that I'm finding right now. You know, I'm going to leave it up to you to kind of figure out if you want to do, you know, ABC or whatever to fix it. But in the same sense, I won't warranty it if it is pitched the wrong way, because I know it's going to be a problem. But I do like Chris's take too on making, cause that's something that we've been finding lately too, is, you know, we did, you know, this big builder's house where we did like five showers, and two of them were having, you know, splash out and leakage, even though we put, you know, T-Astrical, we did all this stuff to try and prevent it. But, you know, it was a curbless shower, and it was a kid's bathroom. And I'm like, well, you know, you guys kind of still have to be aware of how you're taking a shower, who's taking a shower. You know, don't be standing off to one side next to the door with your hand next to it, and then it's just literally flowing the water right to that crease, you know, where the right. gap is. You know, be, you know, smart about it. But it's just, it's one of those things. But I do, like I said, Chris, I like that take on really enforcing, hey, these are not watertight, and, you know, my showers don't leak, you know, because it's a frameless, you know. Yeah.
It's so, like a sieve doesn't leak, you know, a sieve is designed to like strain stuff. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not designed to hold water. So it's not leaky. It's just like, you know, a frameless shower enclosure is not designed to be watertight. It's designed to contain the water, you know, mitigate, you know, water escape, et cetera, et cetera. And like I say, sometimes it will contain every drop, you know, if it's a perfect situation, but sometimes it doesn't, you know. And if like water's pouring out of there, you know, like Brian's, you know, describing, it's like, hey, we're going to work with you and see what we can do, you know, to improve that situation, because you don't want, if tablespoons of water get out, that's one thing, you know, if cups of water get out, you know, that's something else. But yeah, it's like, so the warranty, like you're talking about the warranty, it's like, well, we just won't give a warranty on that. Well, it's like, well, we don't warranty shower enclosures against frameless shower enclosures against water escaping anyway. That's not part of our warranty. In fact, it's right in our warranty statement, that, and just like it's in the guide that we spent all this time working on this year, it just finally came out, that shower door, you know, design installation guide. It says there multiple times that frameless shower enclosures are not watertight. And it's like, and if shower pros are out there leading people to believe that they are, then you are doing a disservice to the industry. I hate to break it to you.
Yep.
If you're leading people to believe that, you're making it bad for all of us. You know, if you want to just like walk away, you know, because it's like, you know, you don't want the hassle. I totally get that. And I there's no shame in that. I mean, in fact, like I walk away from stuff whenever I can, you know, but you know what I mean?
Chris, out of curiosity, then how have you handled those situations where people, you know, there's been water coming out and they feel like it's excessive and they call you? How have you handled that?
What I will do personally is I will say, hey, you know, it's like I said before, sprayless shower enclosures are not watertight. You know, I mean, you know, you're probably going to get a little water out there. You know, if you're getting just a little, are you getting a little trickle of water? Is it just like, how much is it? You know, is it a quarter of a cup? Is it two cups? You know, and if it's like, if they're getting a ton of water out, I personally will like go back. And like, okay, do you want me to add a little caulking here? Do you want me to add a little plastic edge seal here? I'll make a good faith effort towards helping them with their problem while standing firm on with my resolve that like I've done nothing wrong. That like this is just the nature of the beast. It's like if you get a frameless shower enclosure, you can't count on it being watertight. You know,
yeah, I agree.
And usually like that's enough. It's like just going back one time, just letting them see that, you know, you do care and all that. There's been times where I've gone back a couple times. Well, you want me to squirt some more caulking in there? Because what it makes them realize, this is not this guy's fault. There's nothing that this guy could do. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I'll go out there. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to caulk this thing closed so that it doesn't open? Well, no, you can't do that. Well, okay, so then this isn't my fault, is it? And it's like, but you can do that in advance, you know? I mean, you don't have to wait until you have the problem and then explain to them that it's not because of the shower door. You can do all of that in advance. See, so that's what we do. We educate the customers in advance and walk them through this whole process, because it's like, it's not that people are stupid, you know, it's that they've never thought it through. Why would they? And their whole life, maybe they've never had a shower door installed. Why would they spend the time thinking through all the possibilities that might happen? They're not going to, but we do it every day. So it's like easy to walk them through this process. Okay, so like, what if it leaks? Oh, what if it leaks? It's like, well, what if water does get out? Ask the question back. What if it does? What's going to happen? Well, I'll have water on my floor. Yeah, well, you know, most people get a bath mat. Most people who have like these frameless shower enclosures, they get a bath mat, you know? Yeah, a bath mat. I mean, because really, where's this conversation going? Well, it's going to turn into a water monster that's going to sneak into my bedroom and haunt me, you know, in the middle of the night. It's like, no, dude, you're going to have some water on your tile. But if you don't take the opportunity to let them come to that understanding, then it's like, then you're stuck with whatever, you know, with doing that on the backside, which you totally can do. But really that takes going back there, squirting some caulk in there. All right. Okay. Don't use a shower for a couple of days. Don't use a shower for like a day before I come. I don't use a shower for the day after I come. Right. Just got to tell them that it's got to be dry when I get there and you can't use it for a day. So they have 2 days off from their shower and then they go in there and water comes out again. And then what? They call you back again. And it's like, okay, well, do you want me to come out there and squirt some more caulking in? Right? I mean, it's like, it's irrational. It's, you know, I mean, like any like grade school kid should be able to figure this out, right? That water runs downhill and that two pieces of glass with a gap are not going to stop water.
Gravity is always going to win.
Gravity's always going to win. But there is a million things like this that people just never think of because they've never been put in that situation before. You have that opportunity during the sale.
Yeah, and it's our job to tell our customers that. But I agree with you, Chris. I agree with you.
I know.
Point. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I always educate my customer. Hey, you know, shower doors is just a – I tell them it's not watertight. They're just – what was I call it? Man, I forgot what I was going to say. Anyways, mm-hmm. I always tell my customers, hey, you're going to have gaps on the wall. You're going to have about a quarter-inch gap on the wall, about eighth inch between the door and the panel. And, you know, you just got to be, you know, aware of that. And the bottom, you know, like I don't even put door sweeps on mine. I go without them because usually I get customers, oh, my door sweep's gone all ugly, all green, all, you know, dingy. Like, so I keep them off and I don't get zero callbacks on all at all. I just make sure my pitch to my tile is, like I said, that's why I'm very picky on that. Mm-hmm. Because if it's pitched correctly, you're not going to get no water out. And that's why I always center my shower doors right in the center of the tile. I know for a fact I ain't going to get any. And when I do like a notch panel with a seat, sometimes you always get your seat where it's pitching the wrong way, going back the other direction, and gets puddled. Well, when I run into that situation, I go to Home Depot, pick up a squeegee, and I'll give it to the customers. You're going to need this. So I can squeegee the water off the
there
seat.
There you go. Now that's creative. Yeah. I like that. Here's a squeegee.
Yeah, that's what I do. Hey, you're going to do that. I mean, I do let them know about that too, but, you know, water sits there enough in that silicone, it will get it kind of iffy. So I always tell people that you're going to have to, you know, dry it off every once in a while.
It'll get funky.
Yeah, it will. And so I just tell them to squeegee it off, dry your silicone and your clamps. You'd be good to go.
Right. And really, it's more like the water in the shower standing. That's more funky than the water that gets out. The water that gets out, you dry up. Right,
because
it evaporates.
Because that water that stays in there is from us, and that's nasty. Ugh.
Yeah,
you know, you let it sit there long enough, it'll stink.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So, there's like there's soap, which is organic material, right? You know, there's like you know, skin particles and all kinds of nasty. Like, I don't even want to go there.
That's creepy. Ugh.
Yucky.
Like, hey, Adrian, what's your, because you don't use sweeps, what's your deduction underneath the door? Do you still do
7/16? I do 3/8. I go, I just make sure the pitch is good and that you center it. I guarantee you'll never have water come underneath there. Mm-hmm. Unless you got kids in there that want to get the water hose, and, you know, get all crazy. Yeah, of course, you're going to get water coming out. But if you just got a normal person, that any water that hits that glass comes down, it hits your bottom of your curb, it's gonna go back in. It's not gonna, you don't have to worry about it at all. It's like, yeah. I don't do it. It's just one less thing for customers to clean. That's the whole problem with my customers. I notice they don't want to clean. I'm like, all right, fine, you don't want to clean, I ain't gonna put a damn sweep underneath your door for you. I don't want you to come to my shop and say, I need a new one. And then when you charge them $25 for it, they're gonna get mad about it. I'm like, oh, okay, then what do you want? You know? Like, you know, so I will not put them on there. I have like two tubes of sweeps that are freaking brand new that I don't even use no more. Like, damn it.
It's like my case of caulking, you know. Silicone goes bad before I can use it.
Yeah, I do use silicone though, Chris. I know you don't, but I'm getting to that point where, man, like silicone, I don't know. You want silicone, sir? Yeah, okay, fine. You know, I do ask sometimes, though. Like, oh, man, you got a nice pitch here and here. I don't think you need silicone. And sometimes I'll get a customer, okay, just leave without it in. Okay, perfect. You know?
Yeah.
So, I'll get that everyone know.
Yeah, you know, because, like, again, this conversation I was having today was about how they've been doing this in Europe for, like, generations.
No silicone?
Yeah. Yeah, this heavy glass, like these frameless, they used to call them Euro style, right? European style shower doors. That's what they originally called. Because in Europe, like I say, they've been doing it for decades. And it's just like glass and tile or marble, you know, it's Europe. like solid, just like marble or tile or something. And the whole room is like floor to ceiling, you know, it's just tile. And then they have, you know, some glass in there to kind of really more than anything else, just like keep you from getting cold, you know,
and yeah.
contain the water to some
gap degree. Under the panels, Chris.
So
what's that
so,
now? Chris,
what's your gap under the panels?
I do like the standard, like 7/16. Oh, under
right the panels,
panel, an eight. Yeah. I do
doing an eight.
Yeah, I do.
Long term, water get nasty under there.
You know what I do, what I've been doing for a while now that works awesome
yeah.
is I put on the edge of my fixed panel, I put the V-shaped pre-applied tape, plastic edge seal. I put it on the edge that goes against the tile before I set it instead of caulking.
You don't think that'd really? Be worth?
Oh, it works like a charm.
Does it long term? Have you gone yeah. back?
To, yeah, well, it's, I mean, it's never going to break down.
Yeah. No mold or.
Well, you just put the pointy side towards the inside.
Yeah.
And yeah, nothing gets in there.
And then you don't even need a block set, right? You just set that on top of that, right?
Not with a clamp. Exactly. Yeah.
I used to do that with the bulb. You know, the bulb seal, I used to use that. The one that CW used to send you.
Yep.
And then I moved away from that because I wanted to get closer touch to the tile. So I would go with 16 blocks.
Well, the bulb is like thicker. You know, that little V-shaped thing that I'm describing? It's like, it gets you to like a 16th or just a strong 16th.
Because it smashes it down, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, like and then on the wall side, it's like, you can get it to a 16th against the wall, or you can pull it out to an eighth or even 3/16ths, and it just kind of opens up. But it looks really super clean.
Really? And
super clean. And it's like, and it keeps the water from coming through.
And you put your open part of the V towards the outside?
Yeah, generally. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no way for water to go through there. Huh?
Right.
I might give that a try, Chris.
Dude, I started doing it. I thought I'm going to give this a try, see what happens. I tried it, and I'm like, wow, man, I like this. And I've been doing that. So now, like, I'm working out of a van, out of the inside of a van. So I'll load my glass to the bottom, you know, pointing out. And then the clamp side is up, right, because I'm sliding it in. So I'm always putting, like, the strike side down because so it's, you know, doesn't have the little finger notch to hang up on. So when I get to the job, I can just like stick it on there before I pull it out of the van. As I'm pulling it out of the van, do the bottom, pull it out, do that vertical edge. Not only that, like you can actually, like when you're working, you can actually like set it down on the tile.
So you're just high bonded onto the glass.
Yes.
Anytime that peels away from the glass. Like I remember years ago, we used to use those double fins on the backside of.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about this is that it's the gravity and friction is holding it in play. I can't go anywhere. Now, sometimes like when I'll pick it up to like slide it, move it a little, it'll come off, but you just stuff it back in.
Gotcha.
Just on the bottom. Yeah, dude. Chris,
when you do your clips, since you're not doing no silicone, when you drill your holes, do you fill your clips in with a bunch of silicone, at least get that sealed up, or you leave that out?
No, I do that. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially on the second floor, you know.
Oh, yeah. You don't want that to happen.
I'll do the screw, like, you know, like, the method I found that I like the best is like, I'll just start the screw. I'll put the clamp down, start the screw, and then I'll cock up the screw. And then I'll run the screw down in. And then I'll go over the top of it. So I'll cock just like the bottom portion of the clamp over the screw head and then up to like where the little gasket starts. And then I'll set my glass in there. And it's like, it's sealed.
Oh yeah, I do something similar. I do that, like you said. I put caulking on the screw, and then I put a big old bead on top of the hole. So when you set your your clamp on it, it splooges out.
Right.
And you put your screw in, and then you just clean the splooge around it. And I just fill up the U out, man. I don't care, man. I just fill the crap out of it, and then you will never see it, but you know it's going to leak.
Right. Well, I used to do that, but I found that, like, really, if you get that first, like, third or even a quarter, it's really, I think it's really enough because But
does anybody put silicone on the back of their gaskets and put it on top of your clamp and then, or do you don't do that? Does anybody do that?
I super glue.
Do that.
Do you? Super glue? I have a trick. Another trick I'll tell you guys. I use have you ever seen poster tape? It's like scotch tape, but it's sticky on both sides. Comes in a roll. I'll use that. I have that in my tool bag. And so whenever I'm doing my clamps, I use that tape to stick the gaskets to the clamps so they don't fall off and they stay in place. So it's enough to it's super thin, so it doesn't add any dimension. And it's instant, so you don't have to wait for it to dry like glue. And it's still kind of flexible. It works really well. And it keeps all of your gaskets kind of straight, you know, while you're...
I remember you saying that one time about that.
I probably posted a video of it or something before.
Yeah.
Huh. But I do that all the time now. That's worked really well for me.
Yeah, we super glue everything. We prep all our hinge gaskets.
I used to do the super glue too until the super glue got kind of crazy and made a mess.
That's why they call it crazy glue.
I threw the super glue away. Forget it.
I glued my fingers together. I can't work today.
Yeah, you can't clean super glue. I don't know. What do you guys use to clean super glue? Because there is nothing out there. I'm screwed.
Well, that's what super glue is good for. I mean, really, the only thing super glue is really good for is to glue something temporarily. You know, kind of like what Robert's describing, just to hold something in place long enough to get it in. Because super glue has no real legs to it, right? But it does stick right now.
And some of it is a urethane-based super glue, and that actually kind of expands and creates a sponge.
Oh, yeah. It's Gorilla glue, basically.
Yeah, same. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, how fast is that stuff set up?
Quick.
Pretty quick, huh?
Yeah.
Instantly, like super glue? Pretty much?
Wow. Yeah.
Like 20 seconds, right? Something like that. I think I read one.
I might try some of that. So it's like the urethane glue, but it's the urethane based super glue.
Yeah.
It smells really bad though.
So I stay away from the urethane based super glue. So the stuff that I use is like this.
Like regular old good old super glue.
Just Loctite.
Loctite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Loctite. I
have some of that. Yeah.
And it works really well because this, when you push it down, it doesn't expand like urethane. It stays very liquid and then it glues it. No movement.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you guys done like Crescent series or whatever lately? It's those rollers, the little gaskets are always falling off. They try to glue them or something when they come, but whatever glue they use doesn't really stick. So they're always loose. So I'll use two-part epoxy, Loctite, 5-minute epoxy or whatever. And I'll put, I've learned to open the boxes in the shop, take all those parts out and glue them in the shop. Or else when you're on the job, it sucks, man, when they're falling apart and it's I hate that.
And then you can't find it.
Then you can't find it. And it's that's not the time you want to be whipping out the glue and stuff, in my opinion.
Whip it out, Chris.
Whip it out. Whip out the glue. Whip it out. Oh, yeah. What else? We're on a roll.
Brian's curb is pitching in. Is it a curb or zero entry?
Zero entry. Curb.
Oh, so does it peak?
Oh.
It does. It peaks. I guess
It has nooks and crannies, like an English bagel.
Thomas English muffin. It does have nooks and crannies. It's got humps and hollows everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. So I don't know. Well,
I got.
It's not your fault, Brian. It's not your fault, man.
It's not
your fault, man.
You might have to replace the door, but what if you replace the door and put like the half moon threshold on the bottom and set it natural, and then whatever gaps you had, just silicone the crap out of it. Maybe that would help.
So that question was asked. I don't think you were on yet, but what that's going to do is just create a dam that the water is eventually going to pool up against and then breach. And then it's going to just come over that.
Oh, it's that bad?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
God.
I'll post the video later. When she sent me the video, I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh shit. Look at this.
No, are they spraying water right into it?
No, at this point in the video, she just turned the water on and just let it run for a little bit. And I mean, when I talked to her today, she was like, listen, and she said it too. She's like, it's not your fault. You know what I mean? You told me about this.
Awesome.
And, you know, she said, and everywhere you said it was going to pool up, it pooled up. And we're getting it out. You know, water's coming out, but it's coming out too much for us. You know, so it's the contractor's fault. You know, he didn't do it right and so on and so forth. You know, what can we do? You know, and she's really just reaching out to me looking for, you know, the solution, you know, preferably one that doesn't involve, you know, a whole bunch of removal and reinstallation. But I mean,
you want to help, right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy you are, man. It's like, you got a problem, you want to help.
Sure. And I ended the call and I said, listen, you know, I don't know what we're going to do to make it right, but we're going to make it right. And, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So you may not see it yet, but it's there. Just keep going forward.
It's not bright, but it's there.
It's not bright. It's dim. It might be flickering, but it's there.
You might have to get some binoculars and see, but, you know.
It's a firefly. Let's face it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we got one right now that it was a zero entry and it was flat as can be. And somebody else put the doors in. We ripped it all out and she tore everything out and redid it. I mean, you know, with a van.
Did you charge her to take it back out?
I didn't. We didn't do it. Somebody else did it.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So, yeah. We just went up and ripped it out and she got it all done, and then she put heat in the floor. You know, I said, so cool. Where is the heat at? Luckily, she had pictures of showing where the map, so I figured that out.
I saw.
Was this a job you guys quoted originally, and she decided to go with the other guy?
No, okay. We never even saw. And then he used those Victoria hinges, big ones.
Yeah,
and he modified the hinge cutout so. There was like a 16th gap between the door and the wall. Then when you open the door up, it's half inch glass, the thing's rubbed against it.
Ooh.
I mean, the clearance, and she goes, well, we wanted it that tight so it wouldn't leak. I said, not do that.
See, that right there is where you have to have this talk, right? I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? That's the perfect. They're sending you a signal.
Yeah, I said
that. Hey, man, educate me, you know?
This is frame of shower. That's why they call it.
Yeah.
An aquarium, you know.
Yeah.
I got one of those coming up, Tim, next week. Oh, exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I got the big old Victorian hinges too and everything. Oh.
Those hinges, man. They're stout.
They're nice.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go back and adjust those.
But I modified that out.
Not at all.
It goes closer, but not a 16th. I mean, I left the thickness of the backing
plate. Right. Leave room for the glass to clear the wall, huh?
God, that's just. She ripped the whole thing out and started over.
Wow. Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know? Well, all right. I feel like we covered a lot of ground here.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Thanks for showing up, you guys. Sorry you couldn't make it to the show.
Take care, man.
It's Atlanta. Who wants to go to Atlanta? I don't. All right.
I'll edit that part out.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Have a good one, man.
You too.
All right. All right, next week. All right.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.